It's 50 years now for me since being on a church staff. And I want to say that one of the present joys here in our church for me is to have such godly women. We have godly women. What a great, great thing that is. Women who are sincere and who love Bible, who love doctrine, who love theology, who want to dig deep and go down and get to the heart of God. So thank you. As I was preparing this message, I thought, well, what is my purpose for this message today? My purpose is to encourage us in our family life. So I want to build on that. Would you please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 5. Proverbs 12 and verse 5, and I'm going to read verses 5 through 7. Proverbs 12, 5 through 7. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. The words of the wicked are lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright will deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous will stand. What a glory. You ought to underline that in your Bible and not forget this through the days of our family life. The house of the righteous will stand. And then again in Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 24. Would you turn there, please? Matthew chapter 7, verses beginning at verse 24. Matthew 7, 24. Jesus speaking. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains descended, the floods came up, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. The house of the righteous shall stand, and the house built on the rock shall stand. Now, why did the house on the rock stand firm? Because it had a solid foundation. Now, the second question would be here, why does a house, which means a home, need a solid foundation? Here is truth. The rains will come. The rains are coming and beat upon our home and our family. And the flood waters come up. And these are the tests of life. the trials and the tribulations, the tragedies, the catastrophes will come. Christians are not exempt from suffering. I remember a family who were wealthy, children, Christians, everything going. And the remark was made to me, "We have never had any suffering." Well, I have it now. Trials beyond what they ever thought could take place. Your family, your home, my family, my home, needs a solid foundation. The house of the righteous will stand. And the house built on the rock will stand. So, another question comes to mind. How does God cause the house built on the rock to stand? What does he do? How does he bring that about? Now, there's an outline on the back of the bulletin with this question, with some suggested answers. First of all, he does that by giving the home the right purpose. Why are we a family? Why do we have a home? Why am I a father, and why am I a mother, and why am I a child? Why am I a young person in this family? Well, he gives us purpose. First of all, spiritual. You know, that's what's being left out of the families today. That Jesse and Casey and Whitney and Daniel and David and these people encounter. Families without a spiritual purpose. Now, why is it spiritual? Because the family has its origin with God. This is God's idea. This is God's creation. A family is by God's design. And so it's spiritual because it's related to God. And family life becomes that depository and channel of grace and truth. And it flows from generation to generation. Reminded of Paul's admonition to Timothy about your salvation. First from your grandmother, Lois, mother, Eunice, and now to you. And we are here because of that truth. And in the book of Judges it says, "There arose another generation which knew not the Lord." What a tragic society. And so we have a great purpose in our life. It is spiritual. Our home and family exist for spiritual purposes, and this is absolutely vital. We couldn't be talking about a more essential truth than to talk about the house that God builds. Now, secondly, the purpose of the home is domestic. The word domestic is an interesting word. It comes from the Latin, domos. It includes everything you could think about a home and family life. The structure of a house, the chores, the dishes, the food, everything domestic. That's God's purpose. It's biological. And God created it that way by creating a man and a woman. And he put in the garden Adam and Eve, not Adam and Buford or whoever that might be. Marriage is a man and a woman, and life is transmitted by the union of a man and a woman. This is God's. Being domestic fulfills God's purpose. And no one chooses their own parents. God does that. We either fight that or we accept that. And God chooses us for salvation. No one selects his own salvation. So the purpose of the home is spiritual. It's domestic. Thirdly, it is educational. Just think of all that's going on that a little child learns in that home. And last Wednesday night, we had family night, and Cassie was there putting on a show. I mean, that little girl had us in stitches just by the thing she's learning. Little words here and there, and she doesn't realize all she's learning. She's learning about food and about hygiene and about manners and about responsibilities and authority and discipline, safety and fun. Now, some people are impressed with the academic institutions like the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT. If you're a graduate of MIT, you have arrived at. Our Congress is made up of people who have graduated from Harvard or Yale or one of the Ivy League schools. On the West Coast, it's Stanford. And people are taken up with this academic elite. But I'll tell you this, the highest educational organization on this earth is the home. No one can top it. It's the highest. So God builds that home by giving it the right purposes, spiritual and domestic and educational. Let's move now to our thought about the power of the home. The power of the home lies in its influence. And here again is the most interesting word, influence. It means inflowing. And the life of the father flows into the children and young people. The life of the mother flows into the life of the children and young people. And it's a powerful influence. So the power of the home cannot be denied. It's the first nursery, along with being the first school, the first hospital. The other day, a little neighbor girl came running out to Faye and said, "I've got an owie." And she showed her the owie on her knee, and the mother had put a Band-Aid or something there. That's her hospital, she learned that. The first library. So much is the power of the home by influence. Nationally, our nation, our country, is dependent upon a home built on the rock. Our nation's first line of defense is our homes, not politicians. It's not even military. But we need to know this morning. The present administration has put a shame and disgrace on our military by weakening. And we need to pray that the next president will strengthen the military power of our country. It's downhill. It's not the people. It's the administration. We think of World War II and how we got by there. It was because the American home produced people to put them in the military. It produced people who were able to work in plants and carry on the business and supply the military units. The number of ships and planes that were built was absolutely astounding. How do you account for that? The home. The home produced it. So I say to you this morning, the greatest service you can do to your country is to build a home that is built on the rock. It's powerful. Now, its power also lies on its influence socially. It's where we learn behavior and relationships. How a man treats a woman, how a woman treats a man. It's where we learn what marriage is. It's where we learn what masculinity and femininity is in her. A young man observes his father and becomes a man. A young woman observes her mother and becomes a feminine lady. There are women, but there are ladies. And a lady is a woman who commands our respect. And we learn that at home. So how does God build that house to stand with the right purposes and the right power? Having said that, if you wanted to destroy this nation, if you wanted to undermine it, what would you do? You would destroy the home. You would destroy the family life. And you would come before the country and say it takes a village to raise a family. But what did she mean by that? She meant it takes a government. No, it takes a godly father and a godly mother. And the attempt to destroy the American home is upon us today. Now we need to move to the thoughts of the protection of the home. God builds that home with a godly protection. First of all, the authority. Parents have God-given authority over children. Use it. Discipline is for their well-being and protection. It's a requirement. It's in the home that they learn right from wrong, wrong from right. And the protection in that home is moral protection. And a father and a mother have a family forum. And the parents set the standards for that home and build the fences which protect the young people morally. This is vital today. And it's broken down because the religion of our country by many has become tolerance. There are no standards. David had a son named Adonijah. Adonijah rebelled because it said David, in a sense, paid no attention to him. Never talked to him. Never set the standards. And the young man rebelled against that. God builds that home on the rock with purposes and by providing the right power and the protection. He also does it by making it the right place to live. And we think of that as the joy of the home, the paradise. As I work a crossword puzzle, it calls for paradise. It's usually Eden, the Garden of Eden. No taxes, no smog. It's a lot of great things about the Garden of Eden. Well, there are a lot of great things about our home. Love, honor, truth, faith, worship, joy, fun, but togetherness. Being together. What a great thing that is for grandparents, to have the family together. Or for parents as you get older, to have the family together. It's a foretaste of heaven. And so it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to have a home and a family. A man can build a house, but it takes a woman to make a home. And what a haven of rest it is. As I'm out driving and had a tough day or not feeling well, I pray, Lord, help me to get home. What a refuge from the storms of life is a home. Well, God is working to enable us to have a home that will stand. Remember this. The house of the righteous will stand. And the house built on the rock will stand. And we will have difficult times. And we may have young people who will bend out. But they'll be back. And because God will do that. I wanted you to have this morning. And I would like to read it to you as you follow this testimony about the power of the ideal home. I think a part of this is important to me because it's akin to my own testimony. Would you follow as I read it? The power of the ideal home is spiritual. Behind all and beyond all, beneath all and above all, the power of the home appears at its best in the realm of eternal values. When the mind of the little child is filled with the truth of God, when the heart of the little child is filled with the love of God, and when the life of the little child is directed toward doing the will of God, then within that heart and life have been created impressions, habits, and ideals that will never die. I tried to be an atheist, said a certain man not long ago, but every time I reached the point where I was ready to renounce my faith, I seemed again to feel my mother's hand on my head and to hear her prayer that I had heard 100 times, God bless and keep my boy. From the prayers of that godly mother, the grown son could could never get away. After Reuben A. Torrey had become a widely known evangelist, he made the following statement: "I grew up in a godly home, but I was ungodly. I reached young manhood ungodly, unsaved, careless about the things of the soul. And then I went away from home, an unsaved man. But I went away with my mother's words ringing in my ears. Reuben, when the way is dark, son, call upon God. Call upon God. I wandered far, farther than I have ever dreamed that I could wander. Then one night in a hotel room, I planned to commit suicide. As I made all the preparations, there came flashing into my mind the words of my darling mother, 'Reuben, when the hour is dark, son, call upon God. Call upon God.' Then, in the depths of despair in my hotel room, I knelt by my bed and called upon God. And instead of taking my own life, I gave my life to the Lord Jesus. No child will forever get away from the influence of a Christian mother or a Christian father. Never. The house of the righteous shall stand." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way you have arranged our life on earth. The privilege of being together as husband and wife, as father and mother, as children and young people, as a church family, and to live in a nation where there are some fine, decent people. Thank you for that grace. And this morning I pray that this passage of Scripture will grab our hearts and minds and encourage us to know that you are in charge of our families and you will watch over each one, and the training they have received in Christian things will remain forever. We thank you for this and trust you with that, and enter into the rest of this day with confidence in your purpose, in your power, in your protection, and in the paradise of our homes. Grant it to be so, for Jesus' sake. Amen.